through life this way, you'll never get frazzled. You'll always be looking at life in a positive way, trusting that you can lean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Wherever you get your podcasts from, or our own website, prismoftorah.org. This is the Prism of Torah with Rabbi Asaf Aharon Prizman.
Shalom uvracha. Even though we already sent a Dvar Torah to do with Parshas Vayikra and Purim, but I think it's very important to say over a short message, even for myself, to get us into the mood of Purim and realize the deepness and uniqueness of the Chag of Purim, so that we can get into the Suda and the mitzvahs of the day, which, as we know, Megillas Esther, Matanos Lo'evyonim, Mishloach Manos, etc. So we'll start off with the famous question, Purim. Why is it called Purim? Al Shem HaPur. Pur is the lottery that Haman HaRasha did in order to know on what day he tried to get rid of the Jewish people. And this answer is not really an answer. So what? So what if there is a lottery that he did, and based on that, the holiday is called Purim? The name of a holiday, obviously, simple logic says that it implies something about the essence of the day. So what is hidden in the name of Purim that represents the actual theme of the day? Question number two, we know that Purim was a very special miracle. It was a miracle that Klal Yisrael loved so much. And through that love, it triggered them to reconnect to Hashem in a unique way, that Hem chazru v'kim v'kiblu et ha-Torah me'ahava. Until now, there's a certain part of the Torah that they had out of fear, and they didn't really accept it lovingly. And now they realized, wow, there's something amazing about this miracle that triggered their minds and said, now we want to re-accept the Torah, but out of love. Me'ahava. That's what Chazal tell us. Question is, what is so unique about the miracles of Purim? Hare, not so long ago, there were so many other miracles, like the miracles of the splitting of the sea, the 10 plagues. There's so many miracles in history. What was unique about Purim that triggered them to reconnect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and chazru v'kiblu es ha-Torah me'ahava? So as I mentioned in previous years, I think the answer is very simple, yet very deep. And that is, if you look carefully at Purim, what happened on the day-to-day, month-to-month, the scenes were okay, nothing unique, nothing that screams out, wow, this is Yad Hashem, you see Hashem's running the world. You don't really see that. It looks like, okay, it's nature, it's normal to have all kinds of different independent events happening. So Vashti came to the Mishteh, and then he kicked her out, and then he wanted a new queen, and then Esther came, and then Haman came and unfortunately tried to get rid of the Jewish people, and he threw a lottery, and then it came out on this date, etc., etc. However, once all the scenes were done, and you look back, and you look at all the events, you're like, wow, it is so obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world. Everything was a setup. Everything happened for a reason. You see why HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system that Vashti will get kicked out. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system that Esther will be the queen, so we'll have connections in the kingship. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, of course, that the Gzeirah was going to happen, the decree of trying to get rid of the Jewish people. The tree that Haman put to try to hang Mordechai at the end was used against him. You see how everything was an unbelievable masterpiece, how Hashem orchestrated the scenes. And that gives one an amazing feeling to know that even after at the time, we don't realize that Hashem is running the world, but Purim screams out, the miracles in Purim, that at first sight, at first glance, seem to be just nature running its course. But when we look back, we're like, no, it's not nature. It might look as if it's nature and it's normal events happening, independent events, but they're not independent. They're all connected. They're all connected, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the plan. So if Maise b'machshav atchila, it was all pre-orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you see that in Purim, it gives you such an amazing feeling because it creates that connection of love, of realizing, wow, we blindly trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have this simple idea of emunah, emunah pshuta, etmimis dik, emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we know that there's a big plan over here. And even though every scene might hurt us a bit, we don't understand why it's happening, but we totally trust you, Hashem. We know it's part of a bigger plan, and whatever's meant to happen will happen, and it's all for our best. And Purim represents this idea that it screams out, ah, I can see how everything happened for the best. And that is precisely the reason that Bnei Yisrael took upon themselves, oh, we love the Torah that Hashem gave us. Kucha Baruch Hu, Yisrael, V'oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Am Yisrael and the Torah is all one. We want to connect. Now we realize how Hashem is always there for us, taking care of us, and everything's part of a bigger plan that we may not be able to understand at the moment. But in the long run of things, we see it's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is also why it's called Purim. Because Purim screaming out, it might look to you like it's just a lottery, that things are just happening. Okay, it just happened. No. Even things that look like they just happened, no, Purim's telling you, even that thing itself, the lottery, poor. The lottery represents by chance. Even that is not by chance. That is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as Das Tvunos screams out. The Ramchal in his book, in his Sefer, Das Tvunos says time and again that the best way of proving something is you create something the opposite, that seems to be the opposite, as seems to be that Hashem's not running the world. And even in that thing, you realize that it's actually, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As if there is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the world, it seems as if there's powers of evil, bad. But even that bad, in the end of the days, we'll see how it's good. Of course, we need what looks bad to happen so that we'll have room for freedom of choice. But aside from that, Hashem is going to prove to us, and that is the biggest proof one could do, that even something that seems bad will actually be good. And you'll see there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is Pashut hiding in nature. We know, we already said many times, Hateva equals Elohim in Gematria 86. Amalek represents exactly the opposite of that. And that's what Haman wanted to show, because he's from Zera Amalek. Safek, everything's by chance. Safek in Gematria is Amalek. And we will add another layer of this understanding. It's not only that in the long run of things we realized how all the scenes connect, and there was a masterpiece and it's a puzzle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for us. And we now see how every scene was related, and that is the Amkus, the depths of the miracles of Purim that's so unique, and that we re-fell in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah. But it's even more than that. The same thing that seemed to be the worst news ever, it itself changed to be the good news. And there is numerous events like that in Purim, and we'll just go through some of them. First of all, the fact that Esther HaMalka was taken away, snapped away from Mordechai and placed as a queen to be with a goy, with Achashverosh, seemed to be the worst news ever. But we know that in itself saved us, because she was a shaliach to save Klal Yisrael, to go up to Achashverosh and tell them what happened, etc. So too, we know that Haman planned out this whole thing of setting up a tree to hang up Mordechai. But at the end, what happened? That tree in itself, which seemed to be the worst news for us, Gadol HaTorah was going to be hung Chas V'Shalom on it. At the end of the day, it was the biggest Rasha in the world at the time. He was going to be hung up on that at the end. And that is the whole idea of V'Nahafoichu. Everything turned the other way. And that's also the idea of getting dressed up. No matter what, everything's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we have to realize. And that is what gives us such a deep simcha of appreciation of the miracles Hashem did for us on Purim, as opposed to other miracles that were open, straight out miracles. Here, you see that all these miracles that first glance didn't seem to be so special. Okay. But when we saw the overall picture, we connected the dots that we'll be able to see in all events in the world to come, then we have such an appreciation, such a simcha of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us. And in fact, the biggest thing was is that the goyim tried to get rid of the Jewish people, and at the end, it's those goyim that tried to get rid of us. Everything switched, and we got rid of them. And we were sholet ba'oivim shelanu, which Mirtz Hashem will be also in our days. So the point we're trying to make is Purim is a day that we have to appreciate that really behind the scenes, it is all a puppet show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running, and it's for us. And we should have this belief throughout all the events in our lives. Some are good, some seem to be a bit worse, but it doesn't matter. They're all really coming from Hashem. It's all part of a bigger plan. And hence, just take it easy and enjoy the ride. And we have to realize it's coming from Hashem, no matter what it is. And it is part of a bigger plan that we cannot always appreciate. But our emunah should help us persevere and get through any scene that Hashem sends our way. I would like to end off with a story about the crazy day we all know on Simchas Torah this past year on October 7th, Lamin Yonam. I want to share with you a short story, which happens to be the theme of our Mishloach Manos this year that my wife prepared. On Simchas Torah, early in the morning, a woman by the name of Lilian Bitoin from Ofakim, she went down, she started walking. Even on Simchas Torah, she went to a place where she helps handicapped type of people. And as she's hurrying because she was late, she took a coffee cup, you know, those chad pa'ami cups, the one you use each time and then you throw it. And as she's starting to walk with her hot coffee, it starts dripping and she's telling to herself, I cannot believe this. It's dripping really heavily. Oh no, the cup. There's a hole in the cup. I can't believe it. I took exactly the one cup out of 50 cups that has a hole. She runs back home to switch the cup because she needed her coffee. And as she gets back to her house, breathing very heavily because she just ran back to the house or walked really fast, as she's switching the cup, she suddenly hears loud noises of boom outside. And being frightened, she looked outside and she sees Yimach Shemam, the terrorists, and they're shooting into every side and every place. She runs into her mamad, like her protective room. She locks herself there with her kids and she waits there for hours. The rest, unfortunately, were well aware of what happened. So she wrote an article about this because she said a lot of times when you take that cup of coffee, the carton cup of coffee, which is the ninth in the stack and has a hole, don't say, oh, I can't believe it. This is the cup. Out of all the cups that were manufactured in my Dafka, in my pack of cups, I have a hole. Look what this hole did for me. It was pre-organized this way, that my family will buy exactly this set of cups, and the ninth cup in this set will be the cup I take, Dafka and Simchas Torah, just to save me. If you go through life this way, you'll never get all frazzled. You'll always be looking at life in a positive way, trusting that you can lean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's taking care of us, and He's taking us on this ride. No one else. Yiratzon, that this Purim will be able to tap into this idea and get re-energized for the whole year, to always view life in such a way. And by the way, this also answers another question. What is the idea of drinking on Purim? And to what extent should we drink? Perhaps based on the idea we're saying, we're drinking to help us to tap into this way of thinking, of realizing no matter what happens, sometimes a little bit of drinking helps us stop cheshbening everything, stop counting, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Oh, I'm going to get the manufacturer, I'm going to get a lawyer, I had enough of this. No. Instead, just realize it's all part of a plan. And drinking sometimes helps you calm down and just blindly trust the HaKadosh Baruch Hu without using your brain and logic to try to figure out why this happened. I can't believe it's their fault. Everyone around here are puppets. They're all shlichim to Hashem. The only thing that's really in our hands, Chazal tell us, Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only one thing He left us to have the master key for. And that is the extension that will be trusting, believing, fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a freilich and pum. And remember, Hakol Letova.
This concludes another episode of The Prism of Torah. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something valuable. If you did, please subscribe to the podcast and give a 5-star rating. You can also find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts or our own website, prismoftorah.com, where we have a full archive of all our past episodes. We would like to thank Yonah Vefa for the recording equipment and Ellie Podcast Productions for handling all our post-podcast productions. Join us next week for another enlightening conversation on The Prism of Torah.